Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough with me, Dr. Beverly L. Swanson. Now, this is a live radio broadcast designed to inspire, encourage, and empower you forward into your breakthrough. Now, join me weekly, along with my distinguished guests, that will share wisdom and stories of great faith. And now, here we go. Let's get started with inspiration, empowerment, and breakthrough.
Welcome everyone to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. I'm Dr. Beverly Swanson, your host for the show. We're so excited to have you on the air. It's an amazing show that is scheduled for you tonight. And are you visiting the show for the first time? Is there anyone that's doing that? Well, a very special, special welcome to those that are visiting for the first time. Let me tell you a little bit about the show. This is a live radio broadcast. It's faith-based, lining up with the Word of God and those biblical principles that I stand by. And it's also a platform that I offer to my special guests, real people with real stories of personal journeys and challenges, coupled with faith and determination leading to those victories that we want to hear about. And why? Why do I do this? Because it inspires us. It inspires us. I hear their testimonies and encourage for our own ultimate what? Breakthrough. That's right. Now, listen, each everyone is sealed with prayer before ending, because prayer changes things, and it affords each of us, through the power of agreement, our own breakthrough power. Now, tonight, the show is entitled, What a Single Christian Woman is Looking For in a Man.
Something's going on.
2 weeks ago, we did the same story, but this time it's with the ladies telling you exactly, gentlemen, what it is that we're looking for. Now, 2 weeks ago, it was the men's turn, and they had an opportunity, a panelist of three, to share with us ladies by answering our questions what it is that they were looking for in a woman and a wife. Well, now the tables have turned, and it is our turn. Now, please remember.
I'm losing her.
The panelist is answering the questions.
I'm losing her.
Been single for over 7 years. We love the Lord, and we're not ashamed of that. Now, we have no bondage or baggage. So this, so that you know, is not a show to blast anyone. It's just in, okay, of what we're seeing. So, our four panelists, answer questions that the men, again, have sent to me via the email. But this time, we are live. And so I have great news. We're also, I may be keying in for some of you that are calling in live for the questions. So if you would like to do that, you can dial 347.
She's fading. I'm losing her.
Can't hear anything.
Do you hear?
No.
Me either. You're fading.
just going in and out.
Yeah, we lost you. In the name of Jesus. I just sent her a text.
Okay.
There we go. I'm back. There was a technical difficulty that forced me out of my own studio. Well, I never. This for commercial music, but it's okay. I have successfully returned. Now, as I mentioned,
I'll begin. In the name of Jesus.
This was going to be a powerful call.
Yeah.
Well, this is Beverly again. Boy, I think I better get right to it. So, because obviously, it's one of those shows that the enemy doesn't want to get out. So we're going to go ahead and get started. There's something, though, I really want you to remember. Again, these ladies, and myself included, are not here because of baggage or bondage. We're here from our hearts, so what it is that we're speaking about, looking for in men and husbands. Now, we are women that have, we have truly become a bride of Christ. So, we're coming with pure hearts to you. So, sit back and enjoy. First, I'll tell you a little bit here about our. Let's see, who shall I start with first? Now, let me start with Miss Lena Rounds.
Yes, Dr. Bev, I'm here.
Okay. Oh, wow, she's excited. I didn't tell her about her. Listen, everyone, Lena Rounds, and I do know her. She lives in Dallas, Texas. Before that, she did live in Sacramento. Yeah. And for 22 years, everyone, she was a custom designer and assistant director to our ministry here. Now, from us, she's moved to Dallas, Texas. Now, she has also volunteered her time. She was in Sacramento with all the work she with Eve. And Eve, for those of you who do not know, is women that have suffered abuse and a safe place to live. He is also a professor and retired the state of California from the position. I would like of you to welcome my first guest. Her name is Evelyn Rooms. Evelyn, can you say hello?
Hi, how are you doing, Dr. Bev?
I am well. It's so good to have you. So wonderful to have you here. I'm excited about what you're going to share with everyone. So you relax for a moment.
Okay.
I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
I'm just letting you know it's breaking up just a little bit.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Now for our next panel guest. Her name is Dawan Harris. Now, Dawan is in California, and she is a transformational speaker. She's a trained coach, and her formal education, she says, in training is her relationship and her life experience that is equipped with the ability to present material in a well-balanced and easy to...
Oh, no. The devil is a liar.
It is. In the name of Jesus. This show is fabulous. Oh, wow.
Okay, I'm back on the air, but I'm getting ready to take this personally. Being pulled out. Someone is pulling the plug on me. Netta, can you reach me on the other number in case there's a problem so you can pull me through? Can you do that?
Okay, what? Just the
try to keep the landline. Thank you, everyone, again, for your patience. And we're going to go back here, and I'm going to finish telling you about my awesome panelist, Ms. Dawan Perry. Now, she is the founder of, now I'm going to need some help with this one, Dawan. Can you pronounce that for me? Is it Fucus Consulting Services?
Right. It's 3 O's. So to look at it, it would sound like Fucus, but Focus was already taken, and Focus Consulting is basically a family-oriented organization offering the community unique services. So it would be Focus Consulting.
Now I got kicked out.
Did she want us to call on another line, or are we?
I thought I lost you.
No,
guys.
You're absolutely good. I can hear you all. I was actually speaking, but there was a button on the studio that was keeping me from being heard. So I am here. And I tell you, that just means that this is an incredible show, and I want to tell you a little bit about my next guest. Okay. And that next panelist is Miss Miltonetta Atwater. Now, Miltonetta Atwater is retired from the legal system, and she retired here in Stockton, California. She's written several plays for church settings, and she is an instructor of leaders and is very actively involved with the Ministry of Music as a psalmist. And we are so excited to have her with us as one of the panelists. And there is but one more. And that is me. I want you to know that this was not Dr. Bev's idea to be a panelist. I'd rather just sit and listen to everyone's ideas and opinions. But the emails came in, and okay, I gave in. So here we go. I've worked in the corporate arena as a chief operations officer. I'm a Vietnam area veteran of the United States Air Force. I have traveled throughout the U.S. and Europe. I am a radio show host. I bet you knew that. And a Christian counselor, a spiritual advisor, and a spiritual life consultant, and an inspiration and empowerment speaker, and that is all that Dr. Bev is going to say about herself. But I just want to get started, and I hope everyone is ready. Mm. Is everyone ready?
Ready. Yes.
Ready.
Okay. All righty. Oh, let me... Okay. Now, I have 18 questions that the gentlemen have emailed to me. And remember, everyone, you can call in at any time during the broadcast. And that number is 347-202-0120. Okay, ladies, are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. The first question is, are you comfortable with single men having female friends? Are you comfortable with single men having female friends? Who would like to take that?
I'll go, Dr. Bev. This is Elaine.
Okay,
hello?
Elaine, thank you.
Well, of course, when you first start in a relationship, I mean, we men and women are going to have their friends. I think it will matter in the commitment level of the relationship and the type of friends and what kind of friend is this? Does this friend really like you? Women can usually sense that out, you know. So I think it would really depend upon the situation, the friendship, how long, what kind of friends they are. Is he comfortable with, you know, a single lady or woman having male friends? Is he going to be comfortable with it or, you know, vice versa?
Okay. All right. You know, one of the things that he didn't say in this question was, well, he said single, so this must be during the dating process. So this is, we'll have to consider this as during the dating process then. Thank you, Elaine. Does anyone else have anything to say about that question? You want to add something?
This is Dewan. And my answer to that question would be, like my other panelists just spoke, and I'm sorry, I don't remember your name. But
it's Elaine.
Elaine, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Elaine, like Elaine said, when you first get to know someone, obviously the individual had a life and had friendships mm-hmm. before they, you know, met you. So therefore, if you're not comfortable you're going to have to be comfortable, because that's just a part of life is to make friends.
Right.
And so, you know, you can't keep a person in a box and just expect a person not to be, you know, friendly. I don't particularly really desire to or care to be with someone that doesn't have a kind of an outgoing or friendly hostess-like personality to be kind to people. So that's just a given. Just when you're getting to know someone, it's just how about you go as far as entreating your friends.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm with someone and we're dating, getting to know one another, and if we're going out, having some nice coffee, and then he sees a friend that he knows, you know, of course, to be cordial and speak. But mm-hmm. if he does something that makes me feel uncomfortable, or I think is kind of insensitive or disrespectful, and kind of makes me feel kind of embarrassed, you know, then I would have to kind of question the character of the individual.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm in total agreement with that. I mean, how unfair, how awful would it be to be dating someone, this is Dr. Beverly, to be dating someone and not think that they've had friends before us? And how terrible would it be for us to say, well, while you're dating me, you cannot have any female friends. My gosh. If someone said that to you, gentlemen, turn and run.
Run.
Run fast. You know, one of the things that having female friends, and of course you will, prior to us, I feel is an excellent opportunity to take a look at your taste, your character, how you treat women that are just friends, because that's a great indication of how you'll treat someone that is in your life or the relationship and in a marriage.
Exactly.
You know, so run, gentlemen, run if they pull out the cat claw simply because you have female friends during the dating process. How about we go to the next question? What do you say?
Good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The next question, ladies, is, do you prefer a man to let you know you're interested immediately, or do you prefer coy? Netta, how about you take that one for me, if you're, when you're
okay,
ready.
This is Netta. I would like for the man to let me know sort of right away that he is interested. I don't enjoy beating around the bush about anything. In fact, I'm looking for a man that's confident enough to step up and say, you know, I'm really interested in you. I really would like to get to know you a lot better. So yes, I would prefer that they let me know that they are interested. Because for me to try to assume that you are when you aren't, then, you know, sort of leaves me hanging. So I would want that person to let me know up front that he's interested.
Yes, yes. Anyone else want to comment on that?
I will. This is Elaine. I agree with her. I don't like the, what do you call it, cat and mouse game back and forth. I would want to know. I don't want to assume. I don't want to try to figure out. I would just rather, you know, you know, like she said.
Thank you. I tell you, I agree. I mean, you know, gentlemen, we're in the second half of our lives here.
That's true.
So yeah. there's no time here for cat and mouse games or
exactly.
Being coy. I certainly don't think that doesn't mean that we like to, you know, to be excited or, you know, something to be spontaneous and interesting, but we certainly are not at that point in our lives. And I don't think anyone should these days and times. You know, especially if we're out that we are Christian women. Christian women are supposed to be honest, forthright, and upfront. So absolutely, it sounds like that we concur. Please be up front. And if you're interested, let us know. And let's just go from there.
Exactly.
Yes.
All righty. Now, before we go to the next question, because we had many interferences at the beginning, our panelists have been single for 7+ years. We're coming from a point of understanding where we are not coming to you with baggage or to blast anyone. Our hearts are pure. We have dedicated our lives to be the bride of Christ. And what does that mean? Well, that means that we understand submissiveness, we understand love, we understand compassion, we understand forgiveness. We don't hold grudges from past lives. So we are at our best. So we are wanting the best for us. So you can trust what it is that we're feeling and what we're saying. But do remember, though, that these are the opinions of the individual that is answering the question. Okay? Alrighty. So here's our next question, ladies. The gentleman said, do you want independence or chivalry when dating? Do you want independence? And I guess he's talking about us. So do we want to maintain an independent air, or do we still want chivalry when dating?
That's a good one.
Ooh, I hear chuckling. Ooh, this is going to be a good one. Who wants to go first?
This is no tomato. You know, I kind of stumble on that question because, you know, you do want to be somewhat independent, but at the same time, you want the chivalry in there too. You know, I don't want to be so independent that he can't open the door for me. I don't want him, I don't want to appear to be so independent that I don't need him at all. You know, I want him to want to do things for me, to feel like he's needed in my life. And, you know, even just getting to know someone, you want to show that person, well, you know what, you know, do you mind helping me with this? Or, you know, I want him to want to do things for me. So, no, I don't want to appear so independent that I don't need him. That's not what I consider really bonding and getting to know one another. I want us to have somewhat of a dependence on each other to some, you know, to some extent, but not so dependent on him that I can't do anything for myself. I guess what I'm saying is that there can be a medium in there. You know, I want him to feel that I am confident doing some things, you know, on my own, but yet I want him to know that I do need him in my life.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else?
Dr. Beth, this was Dewan. Now, we're talking in regards of dating and making the acquaintance of someone during this particular time of independence and chivalry? Or is it like...
Yes. Well, you know, we're
okay,
talking
so,
about guys. So you're talking about guys, Dewan, so you know they're not very descriptive. You
okay,
get the words and the few words that's
yeah,
needed to make the point, and that's it. No color, no fluff. It appears what he's asking is, so it appears what he's asking is, you know, since women are independent, or I would say today's, he's looking at today's women being so independent, would during the dating process, do they want the men to let them be independent, or do they appreciate chivalry?
Well, I'm sure, you know, every woman would appreciate chivalry and a man to be courteous and, you know, hopefully open up her door or pull out her chair. I'm kind of old-fashioned like that. However, when when two people are kind of getting to know each other in the beginning, I've kind of learned just through some experiences that you have to be careful, and you don't want to give the wrong signals or even get the hopes of any individual up. So I prefer maybe in the beginning, you know, maybe to meet a gentleman someplace or pay for my own meal, you know, in the beginning. And then after we get to know one another and we're going to take it a little bit further, then he can be more attentive to me. But I definitely, most definitely do not want to ever get anybody's hopes up or anything like that or read too much into anything.
Okay. All righty. Well, I'd like to jump in there since everyone was talking. I've had a moment to think. Okay. Well, well, listen, so there's no misunderstanding, gentlemen. I love chivalry.
Yes.
I love a gentleman being a gentleman. I love when a man honors a woman, wants to open their door, order my meal. I love that. I tell you, I already know who I am. You know, I already know my strength, and it's not a matter of being independent. It's a matter of being confident in the way my mother raised her daughter to be, and my relationship with the Lord has refined and defined. So if you take me out to dinner, I do not expect to pay for my meal in the beginning or in the end, during the dating process or the marriage. And because I am an old-fashioned girl with an appreciation for the right man in my life. So I love chivalry. Chivalry is not dead in my life or my world. And I appreciate that question. Thank you. Elaine, would you like to answer that before we move on to the next one?
Yeah, I agree with you. I like the chivalry thing. Now, I also agree with the other panelists, you know, in the beginning, especially if I don't know you real well,
yeah.
I would want to meet you somewhere. I wouldn't necessarily want someone coming to my house in the beginning, depending on how well I knew them, you know, or how long I had known them. But
right.
Other than that, yes, you treat me like a queen, you will get treated like a king. You know, that's
yeah.
Just...
Yeah.
That's me, you know. So, yeah, I'm old-fashioned. I think there's been a couple of times I've caught myself, like I'm going through the door and I just open it and there's somebody there to open it, you know. You forget because you are so independent or you've been independent
yeah.
for so long that I think sometimes we as women forget, but that
right.
shouldn't be a deterrent or a discouragement to the man, you know, because it's not that we're trying to, you know, be independent. Maybe we just, you know, had a fog moment and didn't realize, you know, being used to taking care of yourself, you know. But, no, chivalry is not dead. I love it.
Me too. And listen, you know what? Elaine made a very good point, gentlemen. Don't be discouraged if they go to reach for the door. It doesn't mean that they don't appreciate it being open. You know, just remember that, you know, for those of us that have been single for some time, you know, it really doesn't take long to get out of that, 2 years, 3 years, four or more, you know, that's the only way we know how to get in the car, gentlemen, open the door. So it's not that we don't appreciate it. It's so appreciated. Oh my!
Yes,
it's just that we haven't had that around, and it's certainly welcomed for you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Dr. Ben, may I interject something?
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny we should be talking about this because about a week ago I met up with a very old friend of mine, a classmate, and because I've been single for so long, you know, when I was in the car with him and we were getting ready to get out, I reached to open the door, And he looked at me like, no, leave the door alone. I'll come around and let you out. And I guess, like you said, because you haven't been in a situation like that in so long, you know, you're so used to just automatically opening up the door that you feel like, well, you know, I'll open the door. But he made it very clear, no, when you're with me, I will open the door. So, and you know, it made me feel very good.
Yeah.
And from then on, you know, the couple of times that I was with him, I waited until he came around to open the door. And, yes, chivalry is still in.
Amen for chivalry. Sword and all. Okay. Now, for those of you that are, there's a few that just came onto the studio that have just joined us in the broadcast, you know, this is just us ladies, there's four of us, the panelists, and we're just comfortably sitting around and very informal, sharing what is on our hearts in answer to the questions that were emailed in. So don't be shy. If you do have a question that you'd like to ask live on the air, go ahead and raise your hand, and I will give you an opportunity to mention that question, okay? So we are going to go on now to the very next question. Okay, ladies. This one is, how important, and he says, be honest, how important is looks versus personality to a woman today?
Oh, wow. Now, that's a good one for me.
Now, the gentleman should be honest, ladies. Okay, so be honest.
Okay, this is Milton. May I jump at that? Dr. Bear.
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. How important is looks? To be honest with you, I would say 10, 12 years ago, looks were important, very important to me. But, you know, as I've grown and as I've, you know, just learned a lot more, looks are important, but they're not as important as what's in the heart. And that's what I'm looking for now. I'm looking for a man's heart. You know, I found myself talking to a gentleman that I really probably wouldn't have looked at twice. But as I got to talking to him and just interacting with him, I mean, I saw him, I mean, he just began to look so different to me. And I really was engaged in his heart, and I really, you know, really just almost fell in love with his heart. And so I would say looks are important, but they're not as important as what's in your heart. And that's what I'm looking for today. I'm looking for what's in a man's heart, because what's there is not going to change. Looks can change. We can get fat, we can get thin, but what's in your heart is what really I'm looking to fall in love with.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is so beautiful. Anyone else?
This is Elaine. I agree with her. I mean, looks are important to the point that, to me, to the degree that I'm attracted to you. And looks to me include, how do you present yourself? You know, how are you groomed? How do you wear your, you know, clothes? Or how do you take care of yourself? But the first thing that I look at when I meet someone is, I'm going to look into your eyes and see, what do I see there? And then what's in your heart? That, to me, I mean, because, you know, you can be the best looking man or vice versa, woman, but you have an ugly heart, those, you know, is going to affect how you view that person. But, yeah, I look to the heart. That's the heart and the eyes, because the eyes are the windows to the soul, so they say, you know. So I, that's what I go for.
Okay. Well, Elaine, gentlemen, has just told us that she is an eye person.
Oh, yeah,
he looks at those
eyes
and then
what
at
do
the
I
heart.
See? But if he has a heart, I'm going to see him in his eyes.
You're right.
I see. Okay, that was good the way you smoothed that over, Elaine. Yes, that took skill. Now, Dewan, now I'm wondering what you're going to say about this one.
Well, I agree with Elaine.
Miltonetta.
And I agree with Miltonetta. You know, sometimes we as women, we can be shallow sometimes. And then when you grow and you learn and you mature and you learn what's the most precious and the most valuable things that are, you know, pertaining to a relationship. And it's the person's spirit. It's the person's heart. It's their character.
Yeah.
Now, I must have to say, I can meet the most amazing gentleman, and he could be sweet, could be kind. He can even be that man that even if I go out with him on one or two dates and I'm not expecting anything, but he just has chivalry in his blood, so that's just what he does. So I'm definitely going to allow him to do that. But if there is not an attraction there, I have to be moved some kind of way physically to even desire, you know, to be, you know, to be attracted to this person, you know. And he doesn't have to be a Denzel Washington. He doesn't have to be the most handsome person, but it just happens. There's just something that just happens, a connection, you know, with the individual. And I do believe it's the person's spirit. It's their nature. Mm-hmm. Like they said, their grooming, their family life, if they have children, how they deal with their children, their parents, things of that nature. That's what works for me.
Exactly.
Now, gentlemen, ladies, you know, I must tell you that when I had the broadcast several weeks ago with the men, they did not mind saying that, you know, looks are a factor because there first has to be some attraction. So I don't think it has to do with being shallow. I think it has to do with being ballistic. There is always something that attracts us to an individual, something that makes our head turn, regardless of what that something is. That something could be the way they walk or how their hair is groomed or even those eyes, Elaine. it's always a something. So we cannot say that looks are not a factor. But I think it's important to understand, gentlemen, that, you know, each woman that you pass by in your life or see or meet at any point in time, what's attractive to one is not attractive to the other and so forth. But what is consistent, and I do have to agree with my sisters, is presentation. I like, how do you present yourself? How do you dress? I love smells. Oh, my gosh. Cologne.
Yes, me too.
Dear Lord, can I get a witness? Oh, my gosh.
Where's that smell coming from?
Yes. I know. I love cologne. And how do you take care of yourself? Are your shoes shined? Trust me.
Exactly.
Women notice these things.
Yes,
you know, are you polished? You know, what type of smile do you have?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all of these relate to attractiveness to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not about a Denzel Washington or a Donnie McClurkin or anyone, because remember, what one person likes, another one will not. So if you look at that, my gosh, you'll be changing your outer appearance every 5 minutes. Don't do that.
Can I add one more thing?
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, as part of the whole package, then it comes down to what comes out of their mouth.
Right.
You know, their words, how they talk, how they treat those around them. Like the other panelists said, you know, family, people, you know, you're in a restaurant and your waiter or waitress, how do you treat them? How do you treat them if your meal's not any good, you know?
Right, right.
That kind of stuff. It's the whole package. It's not just based, you know, on one thing, really.
No, it's not.
Right. So the bottom line, gentlemen, polished character, how you carry yourself, and how you are in public and in private. How are you in your own, with your own family? Because not that interested, not that patient or so forth with your own family, it's not going to be any different with ours.
Yeah.
So, and like Elaine said, and I'm sure we all agree, it's the whole package that makes one attractive.
It is.
Okay. Now, here we go for our next question, and that is there a standard criteria, ladies, that women use to decide what age is okay for them to date? And if so, two-part question, if so, what is it, and what is yours? Wow.
This is Milton Adam. May I answer that?
Okay, Dr.
Yes,
Jensen,
of course.
That was a long question, but can you repeat that?
Yes, it's a three-part. Number one, is there a standard criteria that women use to decide what age is okay? And two, if so, what is that age? And three, so what is yours? Okay, Milton Nutter, you took the plunge. Go for it.
Well, for me, and I have to say for me personally, I do have a standard criteria as far as age is concerned. I'm 63 years old. I don't want to go any further than 10 years young, nor 10 years older. I want someone to be more or less right in my age, you know, same age category. That's me. I mean, I know quite a few people who date men that are quite younger, a lot younger, more than 10 years younger and more than 10 years older. And I want to grow old with the mate that God blesses me with. I don't want him to be so old that I only have a few years with him. And not that that's going to be the case, but I just prefer that a man is closer to my age than either a lot younger or a lot older.
Okay. And that's fine. There's no wrong answer. It's the answer mm-hmm. from you. It's coming from your heart. Any other thoughts on this?
This is Elaine. I agree with her. I could go 10 years either way. I think that age can be a number when it comes to maturity, you know, so that's what plays into it for me, you know. You can be my age, which is over 50, but you can be 70, you know. I mean, you can be like 50 but act 70. So, you know, I will only go 10 years, I think. That's kind of my standard, 10 years either way. But the maturity level matters too. You know, that's a big one with me because, you know, just because you're a certain age doesn't mean the maturity level is there. And like she said, you know, I want to grow old with them too, you know. And I don't know exactly my age, but I have the maturity, but I think young. And so I want somebody that thinks young. If they're older, you got to think young. Even if you're younger, you got to think young, you know. I'm that kind of person. I like to have fun. I don't like to, you know, I want to be on the go. I want to be spontaneous. So I want somebody that's got life in them.
Right.
Either way it goes, you know.
Amen.
Amen for life.
Yes.
Dawn, any thoughts?
I most definitely do not, will not refuse to date anyone that's the same age as my children.
Oh, praise God, I sure wouldn't either.
Oh, me either.
Yeah. I'm actually exploring that arena. I have met a few gentlemen that were close to 65, 66, however, even 67, 68, but I would not have known it. They were physically fit, agile, very active, and I was very impressed. But I see a lot of that in the arena. I'm a skater. So, and where we skate, we have individuals still skating that are 72, 73, 75.
Yes.
Just recently we had an 85-year-old, and he was out there rolling around. So it's a little different for me because I'm always around people that are, like, really active. So I'm kind of exploring that right now.
Okay. I think generally most women, that's what they look at, 10 years younger or 10 years older. And, well, I don't need to tell my age. I can say that I'm young. I'm younger than many and older than most. And we'll let it be like that. But I will tell you this. Maturity, accountability, and endurance is a big factor in anyone coming into my life. And, you know, one thing that I've learned, because, you know, the Lord has broken boundaries and bondage in any type of my life over this journey and this walk that I have. And, you know, I thought I had all things figured out, just like you ladies. I'm sitting here listening to you with your numbers and your factors and all that chuckling. And bottom line, you let the right person come over and they'll be like, oh, what do I say? But here's but I will share with you what the Lord had told me. One day I was I was visiting Dallas at a conference, Elaine, so I was, you know, someone picked me up and was taking me to my, hotel. And while I was in the car minding my own business, as the Lord does, all of a sudden he says to me, you don't know who I have for you. You don't know what age he is. All you know is that he will complement you, your personality, and what I am to do in you. And it shocked me. It shocked me. But when I meditated on, you know, what he had said to me, as he continued to download, what I realized was basically what you have said. We know people are, men and women are different today. They are more vibrant.
They are.
They want to do more things. They're enjoying life. We can't go into this arena of being available after we have gone through the Esther process, if you will, and now we are ready and available to be a helpmeet to the right man. We have to be very cautious about stipulations. Now, it's good to have some sort of idea, but we have to understand that if we are looking to be mated with the right person, then let God do what God does.
Amen.
And I'm sure they're not going to be babies. I mean, that's not God. He's not going to do that. But I believe that he very well may surprise what he has for us. All we know is that we are ready and we trust him, we follow principles and protocol, and we allow God to be God. You know, I'm at the point in my life that I trust him impeccably, impeccably. I spend enough time in his presence to know his voice. I know how to confirm his word and his voice. And I certainly am not going to pick the next one and the last one. I'm going to let God do that.
Exactly. Amen. Exactly. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the next question is this. If it says, I've been told by a woman that if I cannot even talk to her. Now, do we have to have a solid vision? Can't the full picture, can it still be being revealed to us?
Wow, poor guy.
I didn't hear the beginning part.
I'm sorry.
It broke up. You broke up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Thanks, ladies. This gentleman wants to know, does a vision have to be a full vision? Can't a vision be in progress and process without it being the full picture of the vision? So, and he has a vision, but he doesn't have the full picture.
The vision of what? I mean,
what are we talking about?
I'll read it again.
I'm not really understanding the question.
No, I'll read it again. As he said, I'll just read it the way he wrote it. I have been told by a woman, if you don't have a vision, I cannot even talk to you. Does he have to have a solid vision? Can't not the full picture? Can't the picture still be revealing to him?
Well,
I'd like to go first on that one if I can.
Okay.
You know, visions are snapshots. Visions are constantly growing, and pictures are being added. But my thing is, gentlemen, if you have a passion, if you have a desire and you have a passion that you can see, that works for me. I am a vision carrier myself, but I'm also a dream realizer. So any man that comes into my life that turns out to be my husband, if you can see it, I'm going to help you realize it. You don't have to have the vision in its entirety. I understand that the vision comes in snapshots, pictures, segments, and pieces. And it's my responsibility as a helpmeet to help that vision come turn into a dream and help that dream be realized.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I totally agree with that. This is Milton-Etta. He doesn't have to have the full vision. You know, as long as he has a mindset that he's progressing, there are some things, you know, that he wants to do. You know, he may not see the full scope of the picture right then, but at least he has a pursuit of saying, I'm focused, and this is where I see myself in 5 or 10 years. I sincerely don't feel that I would want to be with someone who had no vision whatsoever. But I would hope that he has something, you know, even if it's just, you know, even if he plans to one day take up a foreign language, you know, he has to be motivated to do something. And I can work with a person who has a desire to better himself and have some sort of dream before him to make his life better. To make, you know, if we get together, to make our lives better. So in answer to the question, he doesn't have to, you know, have that vision so well put together that, you know, it's ready and whatever. But as long as he has some dream, as long as he's looking forward to something that's going to be meaningful in his life, I can work with a person like that.
Okay. Okay. The next question is, what is the ideal first date, ladies, and expectations?
Wow.
What is the ideal first date and expectations? So, ladies, what is it that you'd like your first date to be? Help the gentlemen out.
Oh, my goodness. That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
That's a good question. Wow.
Well, I can tell you, gentlemen, that you cannot go wrong with Dr. Bev by taking me out to dinner, lunch, anything that involves food. Let it be known today that I love food, ambiance, And I'm not talking McDonald's, Burger King, or In-N-Out Burger.
Exactly.
And, of course, it must have a dessert menu. And and easygoing conversation and laughter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, be ready to assume the bill. You know, so first dates to me is an opportunity to get to know you, to see if we have a conversation that is in common, and to be in the joy of you, your heart, your laughter, and what better way to do that? I mean, food is fellowship, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes.
Anyone else?
Well, this is Nettie. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. On a first date or a first meeting, I would want that person to just really, you know, well, I guess I would preface it by saying this. Yes, I would like to go out to a nice restaurant, but I would want that person to really be himself. I don't want him to put on a pretentious act that, you know, that he's any more than what he is. I want to know him. I want us to develop a friendship of knowing one another, and I think I would let him know that by being myself, you know, letting him see who I really am. Because I know a lot of times when you meet people, you feel like you have to act a certain way. You feel like you have to do a certain thing. And as long as, you know, what you're doing is within the context of being respectful to one another and taking one another's feelings into consideration, I think a person should be themselves. And that's what I'm looking for on a first date. I'm looking for that person to just be himself. I want to see who he is. And, you know, most of all, I want him to see who I am.
Excellent, excellent. So no conversations like, so what are you looking for in a wife on the first date, huh?
No, we don't have conversations on the first date.
And gentlemen, if they do, again, run.
Dawn,
would you like to say something? Yes, please.
Okay, this is Elaine. I like to be outdoors, and that can be a picnic, that can be food too, but I like something that's not a lot of pressure, but you can talk and, like, fellowship. Because sometimes in a restaurant, you're, like, sitting there looking at each other. It's like, okay, what do I say to this man? You know, I just met him. I don't know what to say. You know, what if I drop the food, you know, or something, you know? I think about those kind of things. But I think something that doesn't have a lot of pressure, but, like, you're outdoors. Maybe you guys have already talked, you know, on the phone a couple times. Well, what do you like to do? I like to go for long walks. I love the ocean. I had someone for a first date when I was in California before I got married. He just said, okay, this is what I want you to wear. I'm going to pick you up. And we took a drive to the ocean. He surprised me, had a picnic basket in the car. And he took me up to this point where you could see everything. It was in the Bay Area somewhere. I wouldn't even know how to get there if I was to go again. But, you know, that was nice. That was out. We were outdoors. There were some people not too far away, you know, and I knew him, so it's not like I was going with a stranger. But we had been friends before we dated. But so it kind of depends. But I think if you talk to him, and just something that's like low-key but no pressure, but, you know, you get a chance to kind of open up and, you know, talk, like she said, you know. That would be my idea of a good
person. That sounds beautiful. Sounds beautiful. And there was food.
It was.
Dawn, would you like to touch on that before we pass on to the next question, or you want to take the next question?
Well, I'll try to touch on it a little bit. It seems like my responses are always like in a little opposition. But what happened was when I watched the Jerry Maguire movie with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Tom Cruise.
Uh-huh.
And if you haven't seen it, then I would like for you to see it. At least that excerpt when when Cuba Gooding Jr. tells Tom Cruise that he said, single mothers do not date. They have been to the circus. They have seen the shows, yada, 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 yada. And when he said that, I've always had in the back of my mind, I never really have been comfortable with calling, socializing with someone or getting to know someone or on a surface basis, dating. So I don't particularly date only because I feel like dating has been turned into something else and it looks like something else. And so I try to keep things light when you're getting to know someone and you're having an acquaintance and you're going out for a social or whatever. So if I was to meet someone and go out to have fun, I wouldn't necessarily call it a date. I would just kind of be going with someone and kind of getting to know them and just kind of keeping it light. So I just have a different opinion.
Okay, and dating. How would you describe that to him? How would you describe that to him so he doesn't feel uncomfortable about asking you out? Because in his mind, it is a date.
Right. So I would just simply let him know. It's like, I would be more than happy to go out with you and, you know, and have some coffee or a nice conversation, but I wouldn't particularly call it a date. We can just kind of go out and just have some fun, get to know one
okay.
another. I just don't label it or categorize it as a date.
Okay.
All righty. Well, ladies, I see there's someone on the line here, so I just need to check with them to see if they want to ask a question or whether they're listening in. So stand by.
Okay.
And so, caller, let's see, we're unmuting you now. Trying to. There we go. Caller with your number ending in 7538. Did you have a question for the panelist, or are you just listening in? Caller ending in 7538. Did you have a question for the panelist, or are you just listening in? Okay, we're going to put your mute, the line back on mute. And we'll just continue with the broadcast.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah. Our next question, here we go, ladies. How do you feel about kissing on the first date? Since we would be considered mature adults interested in each other.
Well, I'd like to take that one. Oh, I'm sorry.
This is the one. You probably already know how I feel about that one.
Yes, because we kind of do. But by all means, enlighten us.
Well, the other panelist said she wanted to answer, so I'll wait for her to get done.
Well, I'm Miltonetta, and I do not. I would not kiss someone on the first date. That's just like kissing someone that you don't know. You can't possibly know someone in just one date. You may feel physically attracted to them. You may feel there's good chemistry, but you still don't know that person. And kissing, you know, can lead to other things that you're not really ready for. So to me, I would really want to get to know that person. Even holding hands on the first date, I just don't feel comfortable doing that because I want to get to know the person that I, you know, may become involved with as far as, you know, dating is concerned. So I just don't know. For me, I would not kiss on the first date. No. I want to get
okay.
to know the person first.
Yes. Who's next?
This is Dewan. I do know that men of chivalry who like treating a woman really well on a first date, they don't necessarily all the time want to kiss you, you know, passionately. But they will give you a nice, sweet kiss on your cheek, you know, or
yeah.
on your hand. And I think
mm-hmm.
that's appropriate.
Yeah. That's
I don't think that's
yeah.
what he's talking about here, though. I'm willing to bet.
I don't think so either.
I'm willing to bet the cheek was not his consideration at all.
No. I tried.
My thing is, dear Lord, if you want to kiss on the first date, what will you want on the second, gentlemen?
Tell me about
it. Oh, my God. Dear Lord, to me, kissing is a very intimate expression, very intimate.
Exactly.
And whether it's the first date or the 10th or 12th date, kissing to me is a very, very intimate expression of deep feelings for someone. And that's just not something that I engage in lightly. And and certainly without my heart being into it. So I think you have to go for that kiss on the cheek, and not the forehead. I'm not a child. Okay, no forehead kisses.
Right.
But I think we'll have to go with that kiss on the cheek, and that's not even after the first one, gentlemen. That's for this one, Dr. Bev. Okay. This gentleman says, what do you feel about being submissive, and what does it mean to you?
That's good.
That's a good question. So what do you feel about being submissive, and what does it mean to you? I think I'd like to tackle that while you ladies contemplate.
Okay.
She says, oh, yes. I truly am a bride of Christ. He is my husband until my father hands me over to the man that he has selected to be in my life for the rest of my life here on this earth. So, being a bride of Christ, I have learned love. I've learned pure love. I've learned compassion. And being a bride of Christ, I'm submissive to Christ. So I have no challenge being submissive to the person that my father has personally selected to hand me over to be my protector, my provider. So I can be submissive to that man without any challenges. And was that me those many, many years ago in my first marriage? Many, many, many years ago? No, it was not, because I did not understand what was meant by being submissive. But now, being a bride of Christ, a woman of faith, and a woman of God, I understand that. And it is an honor to walk in submissiveness to the man that will treat me like a bride of Christ.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
This is Nolteneta. You know, I have no problem being submissive to the man that is going to come into my life. I've always been sort of the submissive type, so to speak, anyway. But now that I really understand what it means to be submissive, it doesn't mean that you allow someone to walk over you or treat you or belittle you in any way. I think that a man who has respect for the woman who God has placed in his life, if he treats her with respect and treats her like he should, as far as the Lord is concerned, I think that she won't, you know, at least I would not have a problem being submissive. I wouldn't have a problem recognizing him as the foundation in the household, so to speak. And even in dating, I don't have a problem with a man being a man. I don't have a problem with it at all. So I know how to compliment that man, and that's part of being submissive, being able to realize who you are in Christ. So in answer to that, I would not have any problems being submissive.
Okay. I'm going to go on to the next question here. Do women really want to be pursued today?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Four yeses. We're going to Hollywood.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Sorry.
That's okay. Okay. Who wants to tackle that one first? Beyond the yes, we certainly agree there.
Yes, we do.
Go ahead.
I guess what I was thinking when you first asked that question, and we both said yes. I guess the question that came to my mind is why would someone feel that women do not want to be pursued today? That's just the question that came to my mind. Mm-hmm. Elaine, you can go ahead and answer that question.
I'm going to say yes because I've had situations where I've had mixed signals. You know, so I'm going to wait for the man to approach me. I'm not approaching you. That's just
Amen.
It. You know, I don't do the approaching. I don't do the calling. I don't, you know, because I think that's the man's place. Approach is important, how you approach me. You know, it has to be respectful, and it has to be, you know, it has to be respectful. I will turn down an approach that's not respectful, you know, politely in love, but I will turn it down, you know. So I think that sometimes men are intimidated because we are so independent, and we're only independent because we've had to be, you know, especially if you've raised children or you've been single for a long time, or maybe in your previous marriage you still had to take care of most of the stuff, you know, maybe you didn't have the luxury of being married, you know, to a man that led. So sometimes I think that men are intimidated by that, and we might even give them mixed signals that they're not needed. Not that it's on purpose, but, I definitely believe in the man pursuing.
Yes. And, you know, gentlemen, I want to thank whoever it was that asked that question because there's nothing more important than clarity and communications. And I don't ever want you to feel uncomfortable about asking any question. That's what we're here for. You know, you asked us for honesty, and we want you to feel honest about whatever is on your heart. I know that women can, as Elaine has stated, give mixed signals. So there is a point sometimes in the pursuing or the interest of a woman and men today that they don't know which is the right way or which is the wrong way. And and I'm sure when you're starting off with your very first step, you don't want the first step to be the wrong way. So I do appreciate that question. Now, I got to tell you, let me give you some ideas. You know, it's very important for communication. The best way to find out what the woman is desiring is to ask. You know, I love it if a man asks me, what can I do to make you feel special or valued? I love that. I love that. I love it when he asks me, what speaks love most clearly to you? Because everyone is different, and I don't want him to have to go through his list of past dates or experiences or relationships to figure out which one works best for me. I love it when you ask. And asking questions make me feel valued and honored and cherished.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's your
So in today's woman, you know, we definitely want to be pursued. That's the joy of getting to know someone and, you know, the excitement of it. And you know, it's okay to ask her what it is that makes her feel special or valued, because if you're with that person and you're interested in them, it doesn't matter how anyone else feels, right? What matters is how the one that you feel, how the one feels that you're with. And to get it right, it's okay to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which brings us to our next question, and he asks, how important is communication on your list?
Communication.
Number one.
Number one.
Yes.
number one.
Yes, gentlemen, that is, that even over is higher on the list than food for me.
Yes, it is.
Number one. Stating expectations clearly and directly, gentlemen, can avoid a multitude of misunderstandings.
Exactly.
Okay, now here's a good one, ladies. On a scale of 1 to 10, how important is romance in the dating process and even after marriage?
Oh.
Right up. This is Elaine. For me? I say it's right up there with communication, because it is part of communication.
Yeah,
that's communication. How am I going to know it? How you feel about me? How you treasure me? How you see me? If you don't, you know, romance me and you don't communicate that to me, and vice versa.
Right. Yes. Oh, vice versa. That's good. Yes. Anyone else, ladies?
Well, this is Miltonetta. Romance is very important to me because I'm just a romantic. I love it. But I also think that friendship, you know, should come first, because sometimes we can get so romantic in our mind that we tend to blind out certain things about a person that we are getting to know. So I think first and foremost, you know, friendship should be first. You know, be comfortable with each other first. And, you know, even if there is an attraction, we have, you know, you have to be friends first. Because once you come to a point where you see that there is something that is not going to be a good, you know, a good fix, then you can say, well, you know what, we can still be friends, but I don't want it to go any further. But once you develop that friendship and there aren't, you know, a lot of warning signals out there shooting out. I love to be romance too. I do. But I think friendship is so very, very important first, because it allows you to keep more of a clear, level-headed mind.
Okay. And anyone else?
Well, can I add to what I said? She's right. This is Elaine. I'm sorry. She's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, we're not friends, I can't develop an intimacy with you if I have not connected with you mentally.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have that mental connection, because that's where it starts for me, you know.
Right.
And that comes from the friendship. That comes from getting to know. So, you know, right out the gate, no, you're not going to be, I mean, you can do little romantic acts, but it's not going to be full-fledged like it might be as the relationship grows and then goes into marriage, you know. And you don't want to lose that if you do get married, because, you know, you want to do the same things it took to get the person or, you know, to keep them. You know, so yes, sure. So I want to clarify that. I don't want anybody thinking I'm going to go out the gate and be all romantic. Because it ain't happening. I have to have that mental connection. That's very big for me, you know. So, anyway.
Okay. Duane?
I was thinking, I had an experience, and I had met a gentleman, and in the course of us talking and getting to know one another, it seemed to me kind of apparent that he was mistaking romancing for trying to woo me and impress me. So it kind of became a turnoff, because it seemed like he was more trying to win me over and impress me, you know, more than, you know, being trying to romance me. So.
Okay, I'm going to approach it from another angle, because you know, during in counseling sessions, you know, with clients and so forth and so on, I hear all the time about romance and how important it is to a woman, and how men struggle with it because of, again, mixed messages that they get along the journey of meeting and dating, and then they get married. Now they want this romance, and it's like they didn't, they wanted it in the beginning, and they don't know how to do it, and, you know, it's a learned thing. And so I think it's important, well, let me just speak for myself. I love romance. Romance to me is an art. It's an art form. Getting to know someone enough to know what puts a smile on my face.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what is it that makes me smile? And as someone gets to know me, you know, and that is developed, that feeling of wanting to just see me smile, it's not pleasing me or trying to score points. You know, if they care enough about me being in my presence, they'll love seeing me smile, and they'll want to do whatever it is that brings that smile on my face. And that's friendship, that's beginning of love, that's what romance is about. So, you know, and romance is an art form to me. It's something that you learn as you go, as you get to know the person by watching them and talking to them and sharing with them without feeling, you know, that they have to get things right. And it's so important as a woman to express those things that's important to her. Because what happens is as they go on and they get married, they're all confused because now they're expected to do something that the expectation wasn't there in the beginning. The desire was there for the man, but he didn't want to get it wrong. The woman didn't seem like it was a big deal. And now they're married and they're wanting romance, and the poor guy is lost. So I, you know, from my perspective is, you know, Dr. Bev loves romance. Romance is an art. I love music. Get those rose petals ready. I love the little messages and voicemails and texts. And romance is an art form, and art is to be appreciated, and I love art. And I love to smile. So I think it's really important, gentlemen, to really get to know and observe the woman that is in your company. And what you start, please don't stop. Don't stop. Continue that through your marriage. Yes, continue that through the marriage from the day you say I do to the last breath that you breathe.
Thank you.
Okay.
I think you're very needed. Yes.
Okay. Now, this question, the gentleman said, women are so independent today. What do they really want in a man?
Well, this is Milksana. I can say, you know, I'm independent up to a certain point, but I want a man who is competent in himself to know what he wants, and especially if he's interested in me, I want him to be competent in himself enough to say, you know what, I want to get to know you. You know, independence is one thing, but, you know, really in a relationship, I think the woman is their weaker vessel. Well, maybe I shouldn't say weaker vessel. She is the one that is looking to the man to be there for her, and not only be there for her, but she wants to be there for him. So, no, I don't believe that a person should be so independent that we can't appreciate him being the man of God that God has called him to be. I mean, I want someone that's competent in himself enough to do that.
Yes, yes, okay. Anyone else, ladies?
This is Elaine. Can you read the question again? He said, what does a woman really want?
Yes, of course. Of course. Women are so independent today. What do they really want in a man?
I think the really most independent one, okay, I'll talk about myself and some of my friends. We've had this conversation, and most of us are independent because we've had to be. Most of us, you know, we want to be led. We want to submit. We want to be, you know, adored, taken care of. We want the security that this man that says he loves us is going to be faithful, is going to be honest, is going to protect us, you know, it has our best interests at heart. You know, we want all those things. When I think sometimes when women don't let those walls come down, it's because of their own fear maybe, or because, you know, they don't know how to react to somebody that wants to come along and do that. And I think it takes patience from the man and the man just, you know, learning to read her, kind of like the last question, you know, learn me, you know, ask me questions, you know, how interested are you really? Because if you're not interested, I may not tell you. Only because I know, I see you're not interested. Why am I going to volunteer, you know, my innermost secrets if you're not even asking me any questions? So I think that, you know, it's kind of a, it's not a cut and dry answer, but I know for me, I'm tired of having to carry the load. And I don't mean that I need somebody to take care of me, because I can take care of myself. That's not what I mean. But I mean the emotional load, the, you know, trying to figure things out on my own. I welcome that, you know, because there are times that I'll keep going and going and I don't rest. I need somebody to tell me to rest. I need somebody to tell me, Elaine, you got this wrong. You know, no, that wasn't what they said. Or no, you got to look at it from this perspective. I'm very teachable, and I welcome that. You know, if he has my best interest at heart, you know, and if I know that he's leading me, he's protecting me. He's, you know, he's going to be all that it. Because he's going to be the man God chose for me. Lane's not choosing him. God's choosing him.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
But, you know, I know that I am tired of having to be independent. I'm only independent because I have to be, and I've had to be, you know, for a long, long time, as most of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
So,
oh, that's excellent. Excellent, Elaine. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else?
Very well.
Elaine said a key word when she said the word lead. You know, I desire you know, when a man comes into the right man comes into my life that he feel comfortable, feel honored, feel joyous about taking the lead, and I will gladly allow him to have it. And in doing so, when you mentioned about being submissive to me doesn't mean obedience. You know, it means being sacrificial. It means being flexible. It means being sensitive. It means understanding your partner's strong points and knowing the areas where they have challenges and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And when he bends, you sway. When you sway, he bends. But working together,
So for me, I
desire in a man, I desire a man to feel so totally comfortable and confident in himself and strong and be that lion that he is and just come in and take the lead. At the same token, notice who's there are areas where I have strengths that build him and that build our home, you know, maybe in an area where he needs to come up a little bit, then recognize that as well and vice versa.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, those are all excellent answers. And, you know, I just would like to add for me, I want that man to be loving and caring and protective and strong, emotional, physically and spiritually, and to provide physical and spiritual support to me. I want that man to be someone who would die to protect me. And I want him to be a man that will cover me in prayer. And he to be spontaneous yet stable, to be thoughtful, and can cook. Oh, bless God. I know. What are you going to do with your sister, Dr. Bev? Huh? But also, I want that man to know the word enough to give me the word when I need it. So, yeah. Gentlemen, yeah. My sisters and I, are four the panelists and I, have shared with you the intimacies of our heart. We have answered your questions, and it is our hope that through Elaine, through Dewan, and Meltonetta and myself, that you have a broader picture of what it is that single Christian women are looking for in a man for a relationship and ultimately their husband today. Women are not as they used to be. We are vibrant and caring, and especially for those that are in the second half of our lives, we're wanting completeness. We're wanting to mesh with the man that the Lord has decided is the best selection for us. I must tell you, gentlemen, we are at the point in our lives that only his best will do. But I can honestly tell you, after being on a line for an hour and a half with my sisters, that they are at the point in their lives, and I must stand in agreement with that, that it is only the best that we are at this point wanting to give that man that is going to be the final, and I say this confidently, the final husband in our lives. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak blessings and love and favor, Lord God, over this broadcast. I just praise and thank you for my panelists, your daughters that are on the line with me today. I thank you for the gentlemen that have been listening to this broadcast, both live and through the archives, that they be enlightened, that they have peace to their heart and confidence in their heart to be the man that they were designed by you to be. In the name of Jesus, we just praise and thank you that we walk in the confidence, both male and female, to know that what God has for us, Lord God, for this time in our lives, will exceed far greater than we had in the past or who we were in the past, that the best in our lives are yet to come. We just praise and thank you, Lord God, that we have both been enlightened. We, Lord God, as your daughters, have been enlightened by the questions that your sons have in the very depth of their heart. And we believe that because of the Holy Spirit, that they have been enlightened by our answers. And Lord, we bless every relationship now that is in position. We bless the relationship now that is in the future. We bless marriages in advance, Father. We cover them with your grace and the blood of Christ. We say that they shall last, Father God, as long as the couple lasts and lives, Lord God. We speak against divorce. We speak against miscommunications and emotional baggage. We uplift our hearts in love and joy and compassion, and we are so excited about what you have for us in this time in our lives, in this season. And may our relationships glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I thank you. I thank you all for being on the line here and allowing me to put you on the spot.
It's a pleasure,
That's
Dr. Bev.
That's because we love you, Dr. Bev.
Yes, it was a pleasure.
You know
I'm
you
so
have
glad
favor.
To hear
that.
Thank goodness
you
for
have
that.
Favor.
Listen, I received that. Thank you. I want my audience to know that they did not see these questions in advance. They did not know what they were going to be.
And we were very nervous.
Yes, we were.
So I truly, truly am grateful that that they shared from their heart, and especially when they were not pre-prompted. And I can hear the love in their voice, and I so receive that. And I do hope that each and every one of you share the broadcast. Men have a need to know where women are standing today. They need to know that we are looking forward to getting to know them better as men at this,
yes,
at a new set of eyes and a new heart and a new beginning for all of us. I'm very excited personally because this is a new beginning, a new time, a new season, and I'm not the woman that I was those many years ago when I was married. Oh, mm-hmm, geez, I'm not the woman that I was a year ago. Can I bear witness with all of you?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I am excited to let you know that Dewan, who is our focus coach and consulting service, she does have a website. And Dewan, can you please give them your contact information if they want to find out more about what you do? She talks about a millionaire's mindset and a testimony of richness. And I think that's one that everyone should take an ear to hear, especially for those of you gentlemen that are thinking of getting married. And even sharing that. What she does with others. So, Dewan, will you provide your contact information that you would like them to have for inquiries into,
yes,
your what it is that you have to offer them?
Yes. The website isn't quite completed at this moment, but a good contact would be through mycreativecoachingsolutions1@gmail.com. And any questions or inquiries concerning the upcoming publication of A Millionaire's Mindset, A Testimony of Richness, it can be discussed there, and I can return the call if any information is left on that email.
Okay, there you have it. And I want you to know that immediately after the broadcast, it is available for your listens in the archives. Please, again, share it in all your social media so that all will have an opportunity to hear. If you have a testimony, a story, a personal experience that you feel will be a blessing for others to hear that fits the broadcast, please don't hesitate to contact me. You can do so through the website at www.drbeverlyelswanson.com. That's D-R. Or you can send me an email. You can send an email to drbeverlyelswanson@gmail.com. You can always reach me as a direct message through Facebook under Beverly L. Swanson. And I love tweets. I love even saying the word tweet. You can certainly tweet me on Twitter. Please take the time to befriend me there. And that is Dr. Beverly Swanson. Leave off the N. So I welcome your input. Take the time to follow me on Blog Talk Radio. And again, all the interruptions and technical challenges that preceded us before we got into the questions, I thank you for your patience and staying on the air with us. So as you go forward into your evening, please, 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 again, let my guests know how much they are appreciated for their time and their input and all the intimacies of being transparent by giving me your feedback on the broadcast. So in the meantime, know from the bottom of my heart that I do love you more. And we'll see you next week. Bye now.